Amen. We're thankful for our worship team, are we not? Thank you, Drew, and for everyone for leading us. Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. For those of you that don't know, my name is Brian Johnson. I'm the Children's Director here at Cokesbury Church. Just so thankful for just such a great ministry team that I get to serve alongside of. Thankful for the leadership of Pastor Ashley, Pastor Sheila, just for leading us well. Just want to start off this morning, if we would, can we start off with a word of prayer before we kick off our service? So, Father God, we love you, and we thank you, God, for blessing today. God, we thank you for beautiful weather. It's a great day to be together and worship, God. And so I pray these 2 days after Christmas, God, that we would still be in the mindset of receiving you. And as we enter into a new year, we enter into a new season, God, I pray that we would have restored hope and revived hope in you. So, Father, open up our hearts and our minds for what you have for us. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen and amen. So, this morning, I am just so honored to be bringing the message to you. And here we are. It's 2 days after Christmas. And I don't know about you, but I am excited to be putting away our Elf, Home Alone, and Santa Claus DVDs. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you watch Christmas movies over and over. That's just tradition in our house. We watch Christmas movies over and over, and then it's finally time to put those up. It's traditional, but we're ready. You know, another tradition that we have in our house, we like to buy a living Christmas tree. It's regrettably something that I started a while ago, years ago, and I've been trying to buy a tree that I could put in a box and bring out every year. I love those trees, but my kids insist on buying a living tree because they love the smell of a living Christmas tree. And my response is always, I also like the smell of the $65 that it costs to buy that tree. But that never works. So we keep that tradition over and over again. It's a good thing. We get to pick out a tree, bring it in our home, decorate it. We love it. It's a great tradition. I'm sure that you all have Christmas traditions. You know, things that you do each and every year that brings you into the spirit of Christmas. Am I right? Even going back to your childhood, I'm sure that you can remember as a child you growing up with different traditions in your family. For example, for me, in my house, my grandparents would gather all of us together, and we would put on matching sweaters. Now, keep in mind, we were not going to an ugly Christmas sweater party, but these sweaters would have qualified. They were awful. Mama, if you're watching, I am so sorry. But, man, they were bad. And I will just tell you that we would gather together, and I remember hot cocoa in hand. We'd pile into her big conversion van, my mama and papa's big conversion van, and then we'd go around looking at Christmas lights, singing the song over and over again, Christmas light looking, Christmas light looking, Christmas light, over and over. And although seemingly annoying that song is, it was traditional for us. It was something that we thought brought us Christmas joy, and in the moment, it brought us into that Christmas spirit. You know, traditional things like that, traditions, Christmas traditions that bring us into the Christmas spirit are something that bring us that joy, that hope, that peace, and that love that we so desire during this time. But I'll tell you, in the Johnson home, it was different this year. I don't know about you, but 2020 has been tough. It's been difficult. You know, emotionally, it brought us into this roller coaster. And, you know, we've gone through so much. You know, I think about, you know, the hurricanes and the devastation that we've gone through. I think about the pandemic that we're still going through. And it literally put the world at a standstill for a moment. We've been through so much, and we're still going through a lot. You know, and I visualize myself kind of in a valley. You know, like where there's mountains in front of us. Mountains behind us, mountains all around, and it seems difficult, almost hopeless, to overcome such large obstacles. And so this morning, I want to ask, what will it take to revive, to restore our hope this morning? And so I'll tell you this morning that the answer is very clear, but I hope to unpack that a little more today. But hope has a name. And his name is Jesus. And when we seek and find Jesus, what happens is we're able to find hope that only he can provide. We can find the joy that comes from knowing him, from being his child, the love of others because he first loved us, the peace that surpasses understanding, as the word tells us, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so I look at this passage, and the answer is very clear, that our hope lies in Jesus. And we can look at some of the Old Testament prophets, some of the people back in the Old Testament that even anticipated with excitement, with joy, voiced their hope for a coming Savior. For example, we see Isaiah, considered one of the greatest of the prophets. He is called by God to call or to speak to Judah, Israel, and the surrounding areas to turn back to God and tell of God's salvation through the coming Messiah. In the first half of Isaiah's message, you see judgment. And then the second half is filled with hope and looking forward to the coming Messiah. Other prophets like Micah, you see Micah 5:2, where it talks about a Savior from Bethlehem. David also speaks of a Messiah that will be the Son of God in Psalms. We see Jeremiah in 23:5-6 comparing the current corrupt kings of that time period to the coming Messiah, the perfect king. And this morning I want to ask, could you imagine for a second the excitement and joy in their voices? Knowing that a Messiah is coming, that anticipation and excitement. And this morning I pray that we will find ourselves restoring our hope in the Messiah to revive our hope for what's to come. You see, we're looking at 2021. This is the last Sunday before we enter into a new year. Can you believe that? It doesn't feel that way, does it? My goodness, has time flown this year? And so this morning, I want to give us three things that I feel like will help us put in perspective what it means to know the hope in the Messiah so we may revive our hope for what he has in store for us as we approach a new year and a new season, not only as a church, but as people of God. So three things for you this morning. Remember, receive, respond. Pretty easy, right? Remember, receive, respond. So remember, we'll start with number one. There's beauty in the valley. I want you to remember that as we're standing in the valley, we're looking at mountains ahead of us and behind us. The mountains behind us actually stand for the mountains that you've already overcome, that you've already conquered in the name of Jesus. That God has brought you through some of the impossible, huge mountains that you've already climbed, overcome, times of difficulty, challenges that you've had to face in your life, past hurt, past pain, in our relationships, sometimes financial, even health. We've gone through so much in our past that God has been our constant, and he continues to be our constant. He's taken us through rough terrains of life, over mountains that look impossible to climb, and has remained faithful as we remained faithful to Jesus. Amen? And so Psalm 66:5 tells us, come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds towards the Son of men. You see, it's okay for us to look back. It's okay for us to realize what God has brought us through because it'll help us in what God will bring us to. It allows us to see our strength moving forward in Christ, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so there's beauty in the valley. When we remember the goodness of the Lord, there's beauty in the mountains behind us because it's a good reminder of what he's brought us through. It's a good reminder that God has taken us through mountains that seemed impossible. there's beauty in the valley. Receive. Number two, receive. You see, we see in our Bible passage this morning, God's sending of his son, and the reign of the law ends the reign of the law. It sets the stage for a new age. We see that the son is born of a woman, fully human, born under the law, which seems to emphasize Jesus' Jewish lineage, but really in context seems to rather identify him with everybody, with all of mankind. Paul suggests that all are born under the law in one form or another, and Jesus is born under the law in order to redeem us who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as his children. And so what we see afterwards in Galatians 4, verse 6, is we see because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Because we are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Therefore, we received the gift of Jesus. With Jesus living within us, we are children of an almighty God. When we do, we can't help but to call out to him, Abba, which we translate as Father. Father God, Daddy. He is our Father, and he has us in mind. And today, as we're standing in the valley, I want you to know that there's beauty in the valley. There's beauty in the moment, because whenever we receive the moment that God has for us, this point in time, we see what he has for us as his children and realize that that moment was ordained by the Lord. But, you know, it's all about how we receive, right? Like, have you ever received a gift that you really didn't want? Okay? And it's all in, like, how you respond. Like, have you ever responded in a way that you wish you could take back? Like, you kind of made a face and you're like, and you wish you could just take that reaction back. Okay, can I just share a little something with you? Is that okay? So, growing up, I was in middle school, and I wanted a drum set so bad. I'm a drummer, guys. I do that. And so in middle school, I was like, I got to have this drum set. I mean, if I don't have this drum set, I'm going to die. And I remember writing to Santa over and over again, and I was so sure I was going to get that drum set, no lie, that I remember pushing my sister out of the way down the steps, and I'm pushing her, running down to the tree, and I was so disappointed because when I got there, there was no drum set. And I remember walking down to the Christmas tree in disgust. And I remember sitting in front of a bag of socks, no lie to you, a bag of socks. And I remember my sister running by me, and I'm looking at her side of the pile of what Santa brought, and it's everything that was on her list. I'm like, are you kidding me? And I remember sitting there, and it was like slow motion. Okay, my sister's like, isn't this great? And in my mind, I'm punching her straight in her schnoz. I'm not kidding you. I'm sorry. Don't judge me, but it's true. Not in real life, of course, right? Siblings don't fight like that. But I was punching her in my mind. And so I'm sitting there, and I remember my dad saying, go and look at your stocking. So I did. I ran over to the stocking, and I opened, and there was a letter, and it said, Dear Brian, go and look upstairs in the spare bedroom. I'm like, are you kidding me? I was like, all right. So I trucked it up there as fast as I could. I opened up the door, guys, and there it was. Double-decker, 9-piece drum set. It was like the heavens opened up, light coming down, doves cawing all around, and it was like, hallelujah. There it was, my drum set was there. But you know what I learned that day? I learned that I didn't receive very well. I learned that if I would have just waited patiently, if I would have just waited and received the moment, then I would have known how to respond. If I would have just received just a little better, I would have known how to respond. because I didn't respond very well. And so this year, we've been able to receive Jesus with a totally new perspective of who he is. It's allowed us to know that we are not in control, but we rely solely on him. He's been our refuge. He's been our strength. He has brought us out of trouble, ever-present help, as Psalms 46:1 tells us. And one thing is for sure. It is clear that he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. So this morning, whenever we're looking at the moment, looking at the mountain that God has brought us through, looking at the valley that we're in, receiving that moment for what's ahead. Because we have to know how to respond, right? Which is our next one. Number three, respond. Receive, respond. So, once again, as we stand in the valley and we look ahead at what God has in store, you can't help but to see how big the mountain is. I mean, we've looked back at the mountain behind us, and we've seen that God has brought us through so much. We stand in the moment, receiving what God has for us now, but then we can't help but to look ahead, right? Because there's a big mountain ahead of us. And it's all in how we respond. You see, the mountaintops that we're going to climb, the new heights that he desires for us to obtain in 2021 and the next year and the next year and the next year, it's our new revived hope that helps us to muster up enough courage to tackle the mountaintop ahead. Why? I have hope in this. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." And get this, my favorite part. "Do not fear or be dismayed." And we see in our passage again this morning, we see Paul pose the question almost, since you're free in Jesus, how could you go back to being enslaved by the law? He makes a claim for the Galatians to adopt this Jewish law would be the equivalent of going back to former pagan practices and being imprisoned and guarded under the law means to be enslaved by it. But then he goes on to say, because we're in Christ Jesus and we are his children, we no longer have to be enslaved. And so today, I look at the emotional difficulties, the challenges that we were faced in 2020, and I say that because we are in Christ Jesus, we are no longer a slave to those emotional things that brought us to the valley, but we get to start climbing the mountaintop. No longer do we have to be a slave to fear, to doubt, to anxiety, to some of those emotional struggles. No, we who are in Christ Jesus are no longer slaves, but we are free. And we get to climb the mountaintop. We look into 2020 and what it's brought us. We can also look to what's ahead, knowing that Christ has been there as our constant through it all. So when we look at the new year, we have new hope. And when we look at the new year, we have new joy. When we look at the new year, we have new peace and a new sense of love that brings us to 2021. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.